electronic QSL as verification. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Nektarios Manousos from Greece. So here we come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Protama Prom from Bangladesh, Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala, Bashir Ahmed from India, Ding Lu from China, also Dario Gabrielli from Italy, Mohammad Akram from Pakistan, and Nektarios Manousos from Greece. It was good to be with you. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to 181st up to 183rd verses of this chapter.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أوفوا الكيل ولا تكونوا من المخسرين.
Give full measure and do not be of those who cause loss.
وزنوا بالقسطاس المستقيم.
And weigh with an even balance.
ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
And do not deprive people of their due, and do not commit abuse on earth, spreading corruption.
أوفوا الكيل ولا تكونوا من المخسرين وزنوا بالقسطاس المستقيم. Fill up the measure and be not of the cheaters, and weigh things with a right balance. وَلَا تَبْخَسُوا النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Do not defraud people in their due goods, and do not act corruptly in the earth, making mischief. This is how their prophet, Prophet Shu'aib, starts to criticize them. First, in the previous episode we explained, he introduced himself, although he was not among the people of Madian, but they knew him. They knew he is trustworthy, and he introduced himself, "I am a trustworthy messenger." إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. He tried to invite them. These invitations were the same as the other prophets. They are invitations to piety, emphasizing on their background of trustworthiness among the people, and saying that their godly call has only spiritual motive, and they demand no material wage for it from anyone. They only demand their recompense from the Lord of the worlds. This was for the sake that the pretext seekers and those ones who are always looking for pretext might not misuse it. So he starts to criticize them. أوفوا الكيل ولا تكونوا من المخسرين. Fill up the measure and be not of the cheaters. The Arabic word kail or measure is used for liquid substances, and the word qistas, وزنوا بالقسطاس المستقيم, the word balance is used for weights. And the word ashiya, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ, their goods in this sense, is used for the things which are counted or bought and sold by the pieces. Now, in these holy verses, there are two divine enjoinments and two prohibitions which are complementary of each other. Fill up and be not. Weigh and do not defraud. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلِ وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُخْسَرِينَ. زِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ لَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءُ. It is mentioned in some Islamic narrations that the persons who do not tell the blemish or defect of their goods to the customer, the angels will curse them, and those who deceive others with guile and plotting are worst people.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
However, like other prophets, a part of whose story was mentioned in this surah, Shu'aib, after this general and godly invitation to piety and obedience to the command of Allah, he emphasized on the ethical and social deviations of that very environment. And he criticized them in the second part of his teachings. So at first, he is always criticizing them of these things. Since the most important deviation of those tranquil people was their economic disorders, manifest injustice, iniquity, and exploitation, Shu'aib emphasized on these subjects more. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُخْسِرِينَ Fill up the measure and be not of the cheaters. Fraud is one of the great sins and unlawful things of economy, which brings all corruptions of unlawful food. Fraud is not seen only in transaction, but there may also be some unjust persons who defraud people in teaching. There are some others who defraud people in medical profession, in engineering, and in other affairs of life. They do not give others their due right, as they must do. In these recent verses, in a few short calculated sentences, Shu'aib commands these misguided people to follow five commandments. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلِ Fill up the measure. لَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُخْسِرِينَ Be not of the cheaters. زِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Weigh things with the right balance. لَا تَبْخَسُوا النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ Do not defraud people in their due goods. وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ And do not act corruptly in the earth making mischief. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key. Unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always, but for me, worry ends when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Rabbana, Rabbana. Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very interesting question. And that question is something that a lot of people ask, which is, who will be the first person to enter paradise? Now, this is like one of those questions that, you know, nobody can answer, you know, based on reasoning. We have to take recourse to religion with respect to this. Now, there are some conflicting hadiths regarding, you know, this topic. Let's look at these hadiths and see if we can somehow reconcile their apparent contradiction and conflict. In one hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, addressing Imam Ali alayhi salam, he said, "The first four people to enter paradise will be you, me, Hassan, and Hussein." Right? However, in another hadith, we read the following, again from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "The first of people to enter paradise will be the poor." Right. So apparently, these two are seemingly contradicting one another. Perhaps we can reconcile these two apparent conflicting hadiths by saying that the first hadith was about the first individuals to enter paradise, whereas the second hadith is about the various categories of people in society, right, or believers, which category will be the first to enter paradise. Right? So this is one way that we can reconcile these apparently conflicting traditions. There are other traditions as well. For example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said, "The first to enter paradise will be the martyr and the servant who worshipped his Lord well." And Imam Bakr alayhi salam also said, "Among the people of paradise, the first to enter therein will be the one who does good to others." You know, these last two hadiths, they seem to conflict with the second one. Maybe the way we can reconcile at least the last one with the two preceding them is to say that, well, this last one simply says that, you know, doing good to others is the person who does good to others is the one who will be, he will allow to enter paradise, before others. In comparison to the person who, you know, is a good person, but really doesn't have anything to do with other people. Right? For example, he's a good person, he prays on time, he performs his religious responsibilities, but he doesn't really give khair and goodness, doesn't emanate from him and resonate to other people, right? Which one of the two will be first to enter paradise? Obviously, the second category. So this being first and second here is relative to this other person we're comparing it to. This could be one way we can reconcile it with the other hadiths. And as far as the hadith where the Prophet said, the person who worshipped God well is, the person, again, this could be also relative to the person who worshipped God, but he didn't worship him in a very beautiful and good manner. And maybe the reference to the martyr could be a reference to the fact that there might not be any conflict with the other ones, because obviously the martyr, he is a person who does good to others, he worships his Lord well, and obviously he falls under the category of people who are poor and of the destitute. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the first of the people to enter paradise. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
In the limelight.
The chief executive of BP, Bernard Looney, speaking in London at the International Energy Week, has said more investment in the oil and gas sector is good for the fight against climate change. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Bloomberg news agency has covered this story and tells us more. As the sound of climate protesters reverberated through the conference room, BP's chief executive officer Bernard Looney made the case that investment in more oil and gas is crucial for the transition away from these very fuels. Reducing supply without also reducing demand inevitably leads to price spikes. Price spikes lead to economic volatility, and there's a risk that volatility will undermine popular support for the transition, Bernard Looney said at London's International Energy Week. He added, "We avoid that outcome by investing in today's energy system as well as investing in the transition." The executive's pitch at the event, one of the City of London's biggest fossil fuel conferences, follows the company's recent announcement that it would cut oil and gas production more slowly than expected this decade. The move is part of a realignment for BP as it aims to drive returns with existing businesses that contribute to climate change, while building new businesses that cut emissions from the economy. The company's strategy is partially due to the need to fill the gap in the world's energy supplies in the fallout of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. For the first time last year, investment in clean energy matched funding for fossil fuels, according to a report by the Bloomberg news agency. The world is far behind the trajectory of emission cuts that would enable it to reach the goals set out in the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement and prevent the worst impacts of global warming. The use of oil and gas will need to decline in order to get on track. Conference attendees were greeted by protesters against the fossil fuel industry who criticised Bernard Looney's approach. "Climate crisis is a plague, Bernard Looney to The Hague," they chanted, referring to the location of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, as they sat blocking the door to the conference entrance early on Tuesday, 28th of February. Inside the building, criticism of BP's approach continued from the stage. Simon Morrish, chief executive officer of British renewable power company Xlinx, said BP's plans to continue investing in fossil fuels showed that it isn't moving fast enough to address climate change. Simon Morrish added, "That lacks a massive amount of ambition." Russia Today has also covered this story and tells us more. BP's chief executive officer Bernard Looney has said more investment in the oil and gas sector is needed in order to ensure an orderly transition away from those same fossil fuels. The British executive made the pitch on Tuesday, 28th of February, during International Energy Week in London, amid soaring energy prices and climate protests. Bernard Looney explained his logic by arguing that reducing supply without also reducing demand inevitably leads to price spikes, and that price spikes lead to economic volatility. If that happens, he said, there's a risk that volatility will undermine popular support for the transition. Bernard Looney's proposed solution is to invest in the existing oil and gas system, as well as investing in the transition to more climate-friendly sources of energy. As Bernard Looney made his pitch, protesters were blocking the entrance to the Intercontinental London Park Lane Hotel, where the energy conference was taking place. Activists held signs reading, "Climate criminals enter here," "No new oil," and calling for Bernard Looney to be tried at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, Netherlands. Earlier this month, OPEC Secretary General Haitham Al-Qais similarly called for a pause in climate change talks. Haitham Al-Qais argued that the country is chasing green energy needed to slow down and look at the big picture. They should work towards an energy transition that is orderly, inclusive, and helps ensure energy security for all, he added. Fossil fuel prices have soared since Western countries imposed unprecedented sanctions on Russia last year in response to the conflict in Ukraine. The restrictions were meant to punish and apply pressure on Moscow as one of the world's biggest producers and exporters of oil and natural gas. However, the effect was the exact opposite, with energy prices in Europe soaring sky high amid limited supply. In December, Europe again tried to hit Russia's position in the oil market by imposing a price cap on seaborne crude exports from the country. However, an International Energy Agency report from earlier this month revealed that these sanctions had merely helped Moscow to find new oil markets, with exports to China reaching a new record high.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
One of the recommendations which are there for the month of Sha'ban is something which is known as As-Salawat Al-Sha'baniyyah. And this comes from our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. In the first part, there are five short passages, beginning with salawat, and then the praise of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. The latter part actually is what we would say dua, where we are asking for something, where we say, وَعْمُرْ قَلْبِي بِطَاعَتِكَ وَلَا تُخْضِنِي بِمَعْسِيَتِكَ. And do not disgrace me by disobeying you. Ma'asiyat is committing sins. When we look at this second part, it might be, you know, independent of the first part of the sentence, but there is also a connection there. Because when you look at the whole process of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has a spiritual impact on our heart. You know, this is also an indication of the sickness of the spiritual heart. By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our heart is spiritually alive and healthy. And by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our heart might still be beating, but spiritually it's sick and dying. And this is where the, you know, do not disgrace me, because that would be the ultimate disgrace for a human being because of, you know, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran also has a very interesting term. You know, some of these ayat have not really been studied that much by those who are experts, you know, in psychology, you know, in the among the Muslims, especially the Shias. You know, this state of heart, our ulama of akhlaq and irfan have talked about it quite a lot. There is an ayat in surah number 83, ayat number 14, where referring to the past nations whom Allah had punished, he says something very interesting. He says, Kalla. You know, some people say all these azab about the nations who came in the past, these are all stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, no. Bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. What happened to them actually was the result of the sins that they had earned. And the sins rusted upon their hearts. You know this whole idea of kufr, why do we call a person kafir? All these words which have technical meaning, they are all also related to the literal meaning. Kufr actually means a coward. You know, and this is where when we say, you know, somebody is doing kufr, it means Allah has given this light to every human being. Even those who are disbelievers had a light. But what did they do? They put a cover on it, on their heart. So that nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to them is no more functioning for them. But the nur was there. And that's why on a theological level we call them kafir. Means everyone is born with that natural instinct of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because of one reason or other they have put a cover on it. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people were punished because the sins that they earned had rusted on their hearts. It's a very beautiful symbolic way of, you know, describing what I would call spiritual heart attack. We talk about the seizure of the heart and, you know, heart attack. When the sins, according to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commits a sin, there is a dot which appears on his heart. Again, we are not talking about the physical heart, we are talking about the soul here, the spiritual entity. One, you know, dark mark is put there. And if he doesn't care about it, doesn't ask for, you know, forgiveness or repentance, that will remain. Then another dot comes in after disobeying Allah again. And it happens and happens again until the entire soul is covered with those dark spots. And that is where the nur is no more helping him to move forward. That hadith would be a tafsir of this ayat. Rana ala qulubihim. The sins basically rusted on the hearts of that individual. And that would be the ultimate disgrace from which we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La tukhzini. O Allah, do not disgrace us bima'asiyatik, by disobeying you. Let me connect this with the earlier statement where, you know, iman was the sign of the health of the spiritual heart. And Hubbi Ali is an indication of that. Again, if you see, we looked at Amir al-Mu'mineen as this title. What is the other famous title of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Imam al-Muttaqeen. He is not only the chief of the believers, he is also the guide of those who are righteous. And taqwa has everything to do with amal. Those who say, you know, I love Ali, but that's it. I don't have to do anything. They are really mistaken. They then forget this issue of Ali being Imamul Muttaqeen. Be a Muttaqi that Ali can be your Imam. He is there. You know, he is already the Imam there. We have to join in that caravan of the Muttaqeen, you know, and follow him. And this is where, when we talk about this issue, you know, we have to realize that this unwan and this title of Shia and Mu'min and Muttaqi, you know, these are not only words. We have to show that in action. Let me end with that, you know, action part of this dua. The very next sentence after this first dua, that, oh Allah, you know, keep us our heart in a way, you know, living by obeying you, and do not disgrace us. Then there is a very interesting concept here. وَرْزُقْنِي مُوَاسَاتَ مَنْ قَطَّرْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رِزْقِكَ بِمَا وَصَّعْتَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. And I have talked about this statement many, many times in different contexts, and this is just a reminder for myself and you again, that Allah bless me, وَرْزُقْنِي, bless me with a sense of charity towards a person whose sustenance you have restrained. You know, sometimes, you know, it is difficult to say that. So I'm actually, in a way, challenging Allah's decision. You have restrained the risk of someone. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq. Bless me the ability to be charitable to that person by what you have increased for me from your grace. Why don't we say, oh Allah, you know, just give me what I want, not more than that, and give the extra to the other person that you restrained? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want to see how you handle things. I could have done it directly. You know, those who always talk about direct line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this statement. Even in Quran, he says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That the wealth that he has given to people, he says, yes, this is for you, but in that there is a share for those who are beggars and poor. So those who are being blessed are also being tested. And this is the statement that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq, bless me with this sense of charity towards those whose sustenance you have restrained. And I'm going to help them by the increase that you have given to me, you know, out of your fadl and your grace. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us that you can be, you know, my helpers. We are not becoming shariq here, no. It's not an issue of shirk. You know, we can be the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, by this process. And this is something especially during the month of Sha'ban, and even more so in the month of Ramadan, where charity becomes very important.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyim وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program of Viewpoint, and I'm Beta, the host of today's episode. And we have two dear speaker guests here with me, Brother Ali and Brother Muhammad. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in this episode of today, we're going to discuss one of the most controversial issues of Islamic world about Palestinian issues. So, as you know, Palestine is one of the most valuable lands and regions in Islam thoughts and also other religions. So, in this episode, based on the leadership statements, we're going to discuss this issue.
She's standing on the rubble of her home. She cries out for her parents.
And everywhere in this world, the people, the youth people, are the next generation of leaders and the next decision makers. And particularly because we are Palestinian, and you know we have been living under the Israeli occupation for more than 60 years. We have a more pardon in order to lead our nation and to fight for our rights, and also to try to develop the situation that the Palestinian people live in Palestine, in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, which unfortunately is going from worse to worse each day.
The right of return is still the major cornerstone of the Palestinian issue. And as the Palestinians would say, though they don't live in Palestine, Palestine lives in their heart. So for all Palestinians, this is core to their whole issue. A lot of Palestinians do not benefit from the very thing which every other society, every other culture, every other civilization is able to benefit from, which is to pass on the progress and the fruits to their next generation. Palestinians, because of the fact that they are under occupation, because they are living as refugees, they are not able to prosper economically, they are not able to develop as a country, as a state, and as a culture and a civilization.
So, in this episode, we're going to discuss more about the Palestinian issues and why actually the purpose of supporting this group and so on. And at this moment, also, we have some reference to the leadership statements and so on. As you know, right now we have a special budget for Palestinian people. And my main question is that, first of all, why are we supporting them? What is our purpose? What is our main purpose to support these people who are a stranger?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see, when we come up with budgets, one of the areas that we normally consider is security. And as we mentioned previously as well, security is the first step a person looks for when it comes to his, you know, life. The reason why we build houses, we make sure that the houses are secure enough. and you look into a more wider area, the neighborhood is secure, and then you look into the city is secure, the country is secure. And then we look at the region. Once one country neighboring us is having insecurities and issues, then definitely we are somehow, one way or the other, affected. Human beings are all connected to each other. So when we see, like for example, the latest Daesh sedition in both Iraq and Syria neighboring us, you know, just you know, around the block, we realize that there is a center point for all of these insecurity. So a part of this budget that we set aside at the beginning of the fiscal year is for the security of the country itself. God forbid one day this Daesh, because if you look at the statements of Daesh themselves, it's so funny that they were claiming we will conquer Tehran very soon.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. But then when they were asked about Palestine, we don't have any issues with Israel. Their official statements, not like, you know, unofficial statement or whatever we analyze. Their official statement is, we don't have any problem with Israel. But they have problem with Tehran. They have problem with Iran. So removing that center point of insecurity should be allocated in the budget. And taxpayers are obliged to set aside their money for this, isn't it? The same way you put money for, you know, set aside money for the security of your neighborhood, for yourself, for your city, for your country, then the security of the entire region is more important than that. Considering further than this, it's not only Iran who is faced by such insecurities. Look at Syria, look at Iraq, the closest. You look at Jordan and you look at Egypt and you look at all of these, the Saudi Arabia, you look at Yemen, all the chaos that we're seeing, they come from one center point. So all, not only Iran, but we are claiming that all other countries must set aside a budget for their own security, not for, you know, someone else, their own security. Now, this is looking at this from a perspective, from a nationalistic perspective. Let me look at it. Let's look at it from a more humanitarian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we give charity? So that the person who is receiving charity, he's a poor person, he'll be able to uplift himself one way or the other. Why do we sponsor so many people for education? Likewise, it's our humanitarian responsibility to sponsor the security of others in trouble. The same way we are enjoying security in our country, we should also be thinking about those who are not enjoying security because of whatever reason it is. We should sponsor them so that they'll be able to secure themselves and arm themselves against all the insecurities, whether it be neighborhood, whether it be personal, or whether it be, like in the case of Palestine, the security considering the entire country itself.
Thank you for elaboration. So,
yeah.
Brother Ali, do you have anything to add to this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. First, we have to make it clear if we have any religious or, let's say, Islamic proof to support them or not. Yes, easily. I can, inshallah, refer to your the core of your question, inshallah, later on. Definitely, yes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا. Just let me refer to the translation of this verse of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why shouldn't you not fight in the way of Allah and the oppressed men, women, and children who say, oh Lord, bring us out of this town whose people are oppressors, and appoint for us a guardian from yourself, and appoint for us a helper from yourself. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said clearly in Al-Quran. Again, we have it from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that man sama rajulan yunadi ya lil muslimin falam yajibhu falaysa bi muslim. If everyone hears someone's cry for help and does not support him, he's not known as Muslim. So this is a religious proof that we have. But are we allowed to dedicate a budget for that? Definitely, we are, based on this duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet put on our shoulder, we are allowed to dedicate a budget for that. But as we actually explained it in our previous sessions, at least in our countries like this, we are not dedicating a certain budget from, let's say, the budget that goes, for example, for different areas of people's life, like that of, let's say, welfare, that of hygiene, and that of the other.
Everything is in its own place.
Yeah, everything is in its own place. But the only budget that goes to help the Palestinians and every oppressed in the world It's through the defense budget that actually has a place in every country's budget that we have it also like
yeah.
America. And our budget, let me, for your information, our budget in comparison to the budget of other countries in the region and even in the whole world is not a number at all. I mean, in case we are going to compare it to the defense budget of US or, let's say, European countries, it's almost nothing. But if we want to compare it even to the countries in our region, it's almost 1/10 or 1/20 of the budget of the countries in our region.
Yeah.
So that part, which is related to the security of the Islamic Ummah, the security of our country, so it goes to help the Palestinians.
So up to her, I got to know that, okay, because we have some special duties in Islam, and also we have some humanitarian kinds of actions in ourselves. We do support these Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. But the main question which appears here is that if these Palestinian people were not Muslim, mm-hmm. if, I don't know, if they were, they weren't anti-American, they weren't Muslim, would we still support them in this way? Would we still divide a kind of special budget for them or not?
You mean if they were not Muslims?
Yeah.
In a statement by Imam Ali alayhi salam, it is reported that he has said, "Kunu lil-dhalim khasma wa lil-mazlum auna." He says that you have to be the enemy of oppressor and the helper of the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So here, Imam alayhi salam does not specify if he is a Muslim or he is not a Muslim. So it's our duty to help every human being who is under oppression everywhere. We have seen the cases. For example, in some countries that they were not Muslims, we even tried to speak out about the rights of the non-Muslims, which was violated in some countries. Let's say some, I don't want to mention the African countries. Yeah, Kenya.
Apartheid.
In Kenya, or even apartheid.
Yeah.
There were some countries that non-Muslims were under pressure. So we have seen the instances that Islamic Republic had taken in that regard. But when it comes to the Islamic Ummah, and the unification of the Islamic Ummah, again, our duty is just to help our brothers and sisters in Islam as well. But we see, I mean, this plan that has been, or this scheme that has been planned out for Islamic Ummah is more dangerous than what we see in, for example, the oppressions that are happening in other areas. This is what we have understood it yet.
Yeah.
So we see that this, I mean, by, for example, an oppression, let's say, in that part of the world, at least, let's say, at most, let's say 1,000, 2,000 of people are under pressure. But here we see that millions of people are under oppression. You see, when you see in the last 10 years, almost 10 countries, were ruined due to the security of this country. So does our intellect tell us that there is something here important that we have to, I mean, to decide between the important and the most important? You see, we look at Afghanistan, look at Iraq, look at Yemen, look at Libya, look at all Muslim countries. I mean, look at Pakistan, look at, I mean, the pressure that they are putting on Iran. What is it for? It's quite clear that in the negotiations that were among Iranian team and Europeans and 5+1, one of the key points that they were mentioning was that in case you solve out your problems with Palestine and with Israel, everything will be in its own place. So everything will go back to its right. Okay, you may tell me, okay, let's solve it out. Let's finish our problems with them and recognize Israel. But do you think this is the last point that they are going to satisfy with?
At all. No.
Probably the first one, yeah?
The first one. Then they will come to our missiles. Then they will come to our drones. Then they will come. I mean, they want to take everything from us because mm-hmm. they want themselves to take their own hegemony in this region.
Yeah. Coming back to the question.
There is no end to their desires and to quench their desires.
Exactly. That's very clear. Coming back to the point that you mentioned, if they weren't Muslims, would we still support them? You see, first of all, our religion, we need to perceive Islam the way it should be perceived.
Mm-hmm.
The core of Islam is not necessarily a follower of Muhammad. Unfortunately, we put Islam in the same level as Christianity and Judaism. Christianity means Christ, the follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Judaism is even worse. It's a very specific race of people who follow Moses, right? But Islam is tasneem, meaning to God. So when we consider this scope of Islam, we will be able to perceive things better from an Islamic point of view. Islam, that's why the Islamic teachings, when Imam Ali writes to Malik Ashtar when he was sending him for the government, he says, the people that you're governing either your brothers in your faith, Muslims, mm-hmm. or their brothers in humanity, right? All of them are to be catered for under the Islamic government. Likewise, in the Islamic government itself, when Imam Ali was ruling, he said once that if a Muslim was to hear that a Jewish lady was oppressed somewhere in the world, just by hearing this news, a Muslim dies out of the grief from this news, it's worth it.
Yeah.
This is what Islam teaches us. So even if there are Jews in the world being oppressed, we stand firmly against that oppression. That's what Islam teaches us. And even if there are Muslims oppressing non-Muslims, we stand against that oppression. It's not about Islam and non-Muslim. It's about what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us that stand against, if that person is a Muslim who's oppressing, then definitely he's not following Islam. So we stand against oppression wherever we see it. Then, of course, we have priorities like we mentioned. Why we put the issue of Palestine over the other oppressions, over the other oppressions that happen in the world, it's because the cancerous movement of Israel in the region.
So it was all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you, dear brothers and dear listeners, for being here with us. And I bid you farewell and leave you in the warm embrace of Allah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Eye on Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to Eye on Islam, the show where we look at current affairs through an Islamic lens. As always, we'll be looking at a story which has a direct relevance to the beautiful religion of Islam, and we'll dissect it from a Muslim perspective. Today, we're going to look at the recent incidents of blasphemy against the religion of Islam, which have taken place in Sweden and Denmark, specifically the burning of the Holy Quran in a deliberate attempt to provoke Muslims around the world. These desecrations have outraged Muslims and have sparked a debate about where the red line should be drawn between freedom of speech and incitement to religious hatred, as the following report explains.
A sight growing all too common now. Muslims protesting in response to a row over blasphemous depictions, ridicule, or desecration of the Islamic faith. Islamophobic activists attacking items or historical personalities Muslims adore, in some cases with state support. A recent example which angered Muslims was a series of Quran burnings in Denmark and Sweden, conducted by a far-right anti-Islam activist. The incident sparked worldwide protests, with Turkey also blocking Sweden's NATO bid amid Swedish authorities' defense for the burnings as freedom of speech.
This is not a freedom of expression. There is